those messages from people that you used to know in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be a little bit scary.
I was watching a little bit of the Social Network, the actual trailer for it. There was a New York Times article, and they were talking about how the big thing now with movies is recreating, like, old songs, but they're making them very, like, low-key and then dramatic and then a crescendo, almost like a Barry Manilow song where there's this, like, low start and then this high and then kind of a low at the end. And it was really interesting, but, like, watching that Social Network trailer, and if you guys have seen that movie, it was, like, from 2008, and it was a great flick. And they really talked about, you know, what had happened there, just like the algorithm that was created. I remember going on to Facebook for the first time, and it literally asked you, and people don't seem to remember this, so they want to talk about it. It grabbed all of your contacts, and it email blasted everybody.
Yeah.
And that is why it got so big so quick. And there's something inherently wrong with the fact that they stole everybody's email address and they made a ton of money off of it. Because I had so many people emailing me, like, how dare you send me this? Like, people that I've gone for interviews with, like, old exes, like, everybody that was in my contact list.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you sending me this thing? And a lot of people didn't know about Facebook. I was on relatively early in, like, 2007.
Well, hell, I'm still getting Viagra ads sent from you directly to my email.
Yeah, those will help you. They got a different thing now. They don't want to do the Viagra. It's not as good anymore. They'll give you a couple other things. Plus, you can always just eat oysters.
Nice.
So, this one in the background is Thriller, considered the best MTV video of all time. That's arguable, you know? But I like Michael Jackson. I like this video. This was a big deal, and they played it over and over and over again. I mean, MTV was playing this on the hour. On the hour, it was crazy. And it was a 15-minute song.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean,
and I remember,
they didn't have much to do but just press the press key and then go go out for a smoke.
People, you know? People used to be afraid when they watched this.
Yeah.
I mean, you had that horror film feel when you were watching it.
Yeah, my little brothers, you know, my brothers were born in 84 and in 80, so they were little at the time. So, yeah, they were freaked out by this stuff. You know, they were little guys, but I was just like, yeah, Michael Jackson, you know. It's pretty cool.
Vincent Price.
Yeah. But, yeah, oh, Vincent Price, fantastic.
Yeah.
And, of course, the spoiler at the end of this, he's got yellow eyes.
Yeah.
Which freaks you out.
Yes. Totally. I remember having the jacket.
You had the jacket?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Learning all the dance moves.
Yeah. Very cool. So could you still do the Thriller dance?
Oh, I'm sure I could.
Yeah? I went to Rocky Horror Picture Show at the drive-in last year. It was awesome. They showed that Beetlejuice, and they had the dancers come out and do the Thriller dance.
Did they?
And there was about maybe 20 of them. It was the RKO dancers, I think it was. And they were great. It was so much fun. It was so cool.
Do you mean the Rockettes?
No. It was they called themselves RKO, like after RKO Pictures.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, and also, like in Rocky Horror Picture Show, they mentioned like RKO and like old movies and stuff. So they named their dance troupe that, and they came out and they danced on like a flatbed truck at the drive-in, which was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun.
Oh wow.
So in the background here, I'm going to play a little Simple Minds from Breakfast Club. How about some other obscure 80s movies or big 80s movies? What was another big one?
Well, I'd have to say Back to the Future.
One of my absolute
favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our company is based off of where Marty McFly lived growing up. So he lived in Lion Estates.
Yes.
On Lion Drive.
Uh-huh.
Hence our name, Lion Drive Entertainment.
Very good. And, of course, Time Travel. Chris Earl has been named after Time Travel, which basically in the early days had clips of Back to the Future all through the first couple of years. I would play, like, the DeLorean taking off, and it would explode, and you'd be in the 60s. Then I'd take it off again and be in the 80s. That's what I usually do when I jump around doing the Time Travel show. But it had a whole bunch of the movie clips. And, one of my favorite movies of all time. Back to the Future is just great. And it's timeless, and it's become generational.
You know, one thing I haven't seen as many fan films on Back to the Future. You see quite a bit on Star Wars, on other sort of classic movies. I've even seen ones on, like, Indiana Jones. One thing that we're about to do, and we're going to start filming this on Columbus Day weekend, is with the gentleman by the name of Bill Shea, who literally owns the greatest collection, even outside of Universal Studios.
It is amazing.
Yeah, of Back to the Future paraphernalia. He literally has every single vehicle, or major vehicle within that. He has both of the time machines. He has Marty's Toyota. He has Doc Brown's yellow car. He has the VW Bug that the Palestinian, the Libyans that were in almost got wrong. I would have had a whole bunch of people calling me, correcting me on that. But we're about to do a film mixing all of the Back to the Future and his gear from that, as well as working with the American Heritage Museum out of Hudson in their World War II collection, where Bill essentially goes back in time to World War II, 1944, to get some great W-2 relics.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you had a blast that day going over there, exploring all this stuff.
Yes. Oh my God, it was crazy, like how much stuff the guy has. He's got everything. You look in that movie, what my favorite piece was, funny enough, was the Enchantment Under the Sea poster. Like, is that the Enchantment Under the Sea poster? He's like, yep.
That's awesome.
I love the, the 2015 police motorcycle that he has upstairs.
Very cool. That his son made that.
I think
reconditioned it.
I think either they reconditioned it or they had somebody come in and actually build a fiberglass body around another motorcycle.
Yeah,
body.
But it was based on the dimensions and everything that were used in Back to the Future 2. Pretty amazing.
Well, another one, although I don't think this was an 80s movie, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he also has a great collection of vehicles from Jurassic Park.
Yes.
So I saw that. We're going to try to infuse Jurassic Park into this as well, so should be a lot of fun. We're looking at ways to bring in like Hogan's Heroes, the Dirty Dozen, obviously Back to the Future, ways to bring in like a touch of the 16 Candles, anybody that likes music, movies, and history is really going to enjoy this short film that we're going to do for them.
Yeah, it should be pretty awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love Jurassic Park, too. That one, 93, when that came out, I took my bicycle. I had graduated UMass Amherst, and I was out there for the summer, and I stayed for maybe a month or two after graduating. And when Jurassic Park opened up, I rode my bike like 15 miles to the movie theater, and it was a hot day like today. And I got the very last seat. It was like a matinee, and it was sold out. I got the very last seat in the front row, and when I saw those dinosaurs come on the screen, I was like, wow. Like, only a couple times when you're at the theater are you wowed. And, you know, one of them, of course, was Star Wars. Another one, Terminator 2 and Jurassic Park. I mean, those ones just blew me away, like the advances that they had made on the screen.
You know, on the flip side of that, though, the sometimes just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Case in point, you know, the restart up of the Star Wars prequels, when Jar Jar Binks does a triple backflip Lutz into the water while the battle droids are going after him, Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon.
I like Jar Jar. I didn't think it was that bad. But I love everything about Star Wars. But there were a couple of things in those prequels that were a little yawn-inducing. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
The love scene between Anakin and Padme in number two was embarrassing. But the rest of that movie I love. I love number two out of the three movies because it's kind of like almost like a... it's almost a detective story. It's almost like a little Western when he goes up against Django. I thought that Obi-Wan and Django story was really cool, and I liked Count Dooku a lot.
I don't really get Count Dooku. I'm a Darth Maul fan.
Yeah,
I really wish that they had kept Darth Maul throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, but all three of those villains, the main villains that Lucas came up with for the prequels, I thought were great. I loved Darth Maul. I loved General Grievous too. I thought he was fantastic. But of course, you only see them for a few minutes, and then they build the whole books and games and the universe and TV shows and stuff around it. But yeah, Disney is really kind of, you know, it's funny to say because I've been such a huge fan of that, and that's something that's been in our life as long as MTV. You know, like just being around all Star Wars and stuff, it just got crazy because it got multi-generational. generational, and now I'm not really looking forward to the last movie because I just didn't like this last one that much. I just thought they threw all the characters out the window.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't really understand the whole point of the whole casino section of the movie.
Yeah.
It had no point other than to bring, I think her name, I can't remember the character's name, but just to bring in new characters. Like, Del Toro had no point.
Right. He was just happened to be around the casino.
It's like
they didn't even get the main guy that they wanted.
It's like the producer owed him a favor, so I'm going to throw you in here. I'm going to set up an entire section of the film devoted just to show your
face. To me, the guy that made the movie wasn't really a fan of the movie. He wasn't. I mean, they said he was such a big Star Wars fan. He wasn't a big Star Wars fan. You don't do something like that to Luke, and you don't just throw everything out the window from the original movies, you know? If you want to do something, don't do the Skywalker trilogy. You know, don't do another Skywalker trilogy, because that's what it was basically thrown in as. It's like, it's not part of the Skywalker story if you have Luke become a villain. Again, spoiler alert.
You know, I usually judge the Star Wars movies based on the plot or story, the cool action figures, what you can get out of the action figures, and then, you know, the science fiction special effects aspect of it. And to me, Empire Strikes Back is still the best out of all of them.
Oh, hands down.
And then the newer outside of the Skywalker bits, the Solo I thought was awesome, and I really enjoyed Rogue One.
See, I liked Rogue One a lot. I liked Solo when I watched it again the first time. I didn't like it at all.
I had to watch it three times.
Yeah, the second time I'm like, it's not that bad, but Rogue One gets better and better every time you watch it, I thought. And they did a pretty good job on that.
Yeah, I felt like I kept missing something if I wasn't paying attention. And I'm like, I forgot that.
So in the background, we had some Smiths there. Here's a little Return of the Jedi in the background. Since we're talking about it, might as well have a little Return of the Jedi while we're talking about the 80s movies. Did you guys do any instruments? Did you play anything?
I tried to play bass guitar.
Yep.
I was terrible at it. Absolutely terrible. The band that I was in was called Black Knight.
Black Knight.
Yeah, so you can only imagine the type of music that we played.
It's dark.
Dark, Black Knight.
Yep.
And the bass lines that I played definitely didn't brighten it up.
Yeah.
No, I never played any instruments.
No?
I was more into the either dance thing or trying to sing.
Yeah, I like singing. I always wanted to do the keys. I tinkered with the keys a little bit. But I got very, very good on the Beatles Rock Band playing the drums like Ringo. I was very good at that.
Nice. You know what? People always make fun of Ringo. I don't get it.
He's great.
He's one of the most underrated drummers, you know, ever. There would not be the Beatles without Ringo Starr.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a movie. How about The Karate Kid, when he has him wax on, wax off.
My God.
Painting, and then he learns karate from it. Exactly. I'm like, I played Rock Band. I know how to play the drums now.
Yes.
But yeah.
Exactly.
Give me a pair of sticks. I'll go crazy.
Still one of the best movie series ever, except for the one with Will Smith's son. I think they just erased that. It's not on Netflix.
Yeah, it's like the next Karate Kid.
Yeah, I don't even think
it was the Black Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, it's not about it just didn't sort of fit. And Jackie Chan wasn't a Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Jackie Chan was in there.
Yeah,
yeah. He was the sensei.
Yeah, he was Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
But Cobra Kai,
fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Have you seen any of that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh my God.
Awesome.
You can use my YouTube premium.
Yes, let's get that out to all the listeners.
Season 1 and 2.
Here's the YouTube premium code to watch Cobra Kai.
On
John's account.
Now, that's a type of video that I would love for us to shoot one day with Lion Drive. We do these epic cinematic event announcements for weddings, birthdays, reunions, all sorts of stuff like that. And we've done ones like rom-coms. We're about to do one based on the Thomas Crown Affair. About to do one on Back to the Future. We did one on Terminator. I would love to do one on the Karate Kid. You know,
that'd be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really enjoy Cobra Kai.
Yeah, you have to
it's such a such a cool show.
Well, they took it from such a fresh angle that already had it already had a buzz because I think there was a video on YouTube or Vimeo where it showed that Johnny was actually the good guy and Danielson was the bad guy.
Right.
So they kind of took that and just expanded it and made it amazing.
Oh, if I had a nickel for every time I was called Danielson.
Oh, yeah. You got to hear it forever, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And really, William Zabka, I think his name is.
Right.
Is outstanding in it. And, you know, Ralph Macchio does a great job as Daniel.
Yep.
And
yep.
All the other characters that they bring around, that they keep on bringing back in, are, you know, really round out the plot and the story. And it's something, you know, I'll have a little bit of vapor in the late hours of the night and just chill out and watch that show. Damn. Over and over and over again.
You are listening to Time Travel with Chris Earle with the guests John and Dan. It's WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts at 6:15 in the evening. If you are still at work, you should leave. Time Travel here with you until 7 p.m. Here's the Pretenders.
Got this in pocket. Gunpowder, I'm gonna use it. Intention, I'm feeling mental. Gonna make you, make you, make you notice. Got motion, restring emotion. I've been diving, detour leaning. No visa, just seems so pleasing.
Gonna make you see.
that you can't hide on the inside. All the pain you've ever felt. Ransom my heart.
You know, Chris, the number of Americans that die each day from an accidental overdose by prescription drugs is 54. Also, did you know that the number of human beings that have died from an overdose of medical marijuana in all recorded history is zero?
You're listening to WMFO in Medford.
On the set, and I have the right to open up your wallet and go through it on television. Let's see how much money. Lynn Kellerman.
The picture of Adam.
Okay, $30. Oh, shoot. Which I think is mine now because you left it out here on my set.
That's what I get.
Mother's Talk, Tears for Fears. Tonight we've got video from King and the Untouchables, part of the new video. Actually, that's Monday. 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, 2 out on the West Coast. And again at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, and 7 out on the West Coast. And the new video hour is sponsored in part by Snickers and by Merry-Go-Round Fashion Boutiques. And we also have the Countdown Show coming up later on today, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, 1 out on the West Coast. That'll be just before the Alarm concert gets underway. Now, within about 20 minutes, we have... Anybody want a Tic Tac? I have some.
Yeah, we'll take some Tic Tacs in here.
Okay, great. I'll bring some in. We have Dire Straits, So Far Away, within 20. MTV Music Television. I'm Martha Quinn, and on this Saturday, Whitney Houston. Tears for Fears video. Prince has another video from Parade on the way. Tell you about that in the news. Here's John.
It's Aha in the background to Take on Me. So, Martha Quinn right before that. Who was your favorite VJ? Did you guys have a favorite VJ on MTV? There was J.J. Jackson and Alan Hunter and Mark Goodman. Nina Blackwood and Martha Quinn were the original five.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. It was a toss-up for me between J.J. Jackson and Martha Quinn.
Yeah.
But
reason why?
Well, I think J.J. Jackson actually came from radio. Mm-hmm. So he was it seemed like he was bringing in a lot of, like, the Commodores, and he was bringing in, like, bands like Kool and the Gang. And,
right.
And I liked Martha Quinn just because of her bubbly sort of personality. She was mm-hmm. fun. She was very young. Nina Blackwood, though, loved the hair.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. she was like fierce.
She had the best hair out of all
five. And the best voice.
Yeah.
Great voice.
And she had a sexy voice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she was definitely fierce.
Yeah. Did you like Nina Blackwood the best?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I liked it too. I liked Martha Quinn the best. But I liked all five of them in their own way. Mark Goodman, I think, opened up the show.
Yeah, he
but J.J. Jackson definitely brought a little bit more professionalism with him because he had been around in the music industry, and he was kind of like the Kurt Loder of the time. Like,
yes.
He was a little bit more into the news and stuff. But Martha Quinn was just so much fun, you know, and she was just like the girl next door, you know.
Yep.
And they pretty much kind of all played to the sensibilities. I guess Nina Blackwood was saying how much of a... she was kind of like a teetotaler and just like went home every night. And she said Martha Quinn, who was playing like the goody two shoes next door, was like a super party girl. She's like just doing everything with all the bands.
So, you know, I used to like Alan Hunter, but he lost face with me.
Really? Why?
Yeah. He was drunk as hell on a live taping of a Billy Squier Christmas song.
Oh.
I forget the name of the song.
I think it's just called the Christmas song.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you can tell he's just hammered in this thing, acting like a fool in it. So, I don't know.
Oh, Christmas is the time to say I love you.
Yes, that video there. So
it was the time for Alan Hunter to get drunk.
Yeah.
See, I like him a lot, too. Yeah, you can tell there's a great book called I Want My MTV. And it talks, all the VJs are interviewed, and has a whole bunch of talking heads, including the talking heads. It has all the bands and stuff that were around at the time, and it's so cool. And it's one of my favorite books that I've read in the last 10 years, and it just talks about, you know, the early days of MTV, and then a little bit more when it was changing formats and you got into the reality programming and stuff. Like, now, we were saying right before, there's really no MTV anymore. I mean, it's basically you want to watch teen pregnancies and, you know, just pretty much. What's the name of it? It's like pregnant
trash.
Teens trap. It's pregnant at 15 or something like that. You know?
You know, MTV kind of reminds me of how we used to listen to the radio, too. Do you remember, like, waiting for your song to come on the radio and then record it?
Trying to record it.
Same thing on MTV.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We had our VHS tapes in there. The song I remember waiting for was Kiss, Love It Loud.
Okay.
They showed that video, like, once every 7 hours, and I was waiting for it. So I had to go through, you know, all the Genesis videos, all the Madonna videos, all the Cyndi Lauper videos. To get one view of Kiss, Love It Loud, when they're playing on a tank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, at least you had some good videos to lead you up to there.
Yeah.
Madonna.
At the time, though, I was not a
Madonna fan.
I wasn't a Madonna fan. Now I can appreciate her, but
She's just come back.
Well, she was brilliant. Yeah. She was a brilliant marketer. You know,
Totally. Even to this day, look, she's come back now, and she's Madam X.
Yep.
Yeah. With an eye patch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good for her. I couldn't pull off an eye patch.
In the background is Depeche Mode. Just can't get enough. Probably one of their first earliest hits, 81. Yep. It's a great band.
You know, I find myself being one of those types of people that appreciate a lot of the 80s music as I get older. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up in the 80s, I really like hard rock and heavy metal, Iron Maiden, Ronnie James Dio, Motley Crue.
Sure.
You know, those bands like that. So I never listened to bands like Depeche Mode or, more obscure underground bands, like even R.E.M.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later when I was in college or, you know, decades later where I could appreciate bands like Depeche Mode or...
Well, early Depeche Mode is a lot different than the later stuff. Like, early they're actually kind of happy.
Yeah.
And then it gets then very dark, sad, very quick.
They had some issues that went through their
lives.
As
soon as it gets into the late 80s and 90s, you know, I can understand that. They got very sad.
Well, Violator is still one of my favorite albums.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's a great album. Yeah, that was right on the cusp. I think it was 89 and the 90 was Violator. So, say going back, say we went back now to 1980, well, we don't want to say 81. Let's go back to 89, because then if you could impart some wisdom to your 17 or 18-year-old self going off from high school, what would it be? Anything comes to mind, Danny?
I would say probably, like, be comfortable in your own skin.
Be a little bit more comfortable in your own skin. That would be the advice you'd give 18-year-old Danny?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was so, like... I guess people would probably say I was a little bit outgoing, but I definitely was a little bit more reserved than I would have thought. But
sure.
I was obviously confused back then, and being that at the time of, you know, our era, I wasn't comfortable with obviously coming out.
Yeah.
You know, and like now you see it a lot more with these younger kids that are coming out like at 13, 12.
I know. And they're looking at you like a pioneer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I didn't come out until
you're
like
an elder 18, statesman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's what I would, you know, tell these kids is that don't worry about whatever anyone else is thinking. Just
kind of
be
you. Yeah. And don't worry about what everybody else is doing or thinking.
Exactly.
That's good advice. How about yourself, John?
I think to be a little bit more understanding and empathetic. At that age, and it doesn't matter what generation you're in, whether you're baby boomer, Generation Xers like ourselves, or even millennials, at that age you're very self-absorbed.
Yeah.
I think I would have tried to take more of a worldview.
Yeah.
To other people, I think I would have had better relationships. From then to now, and the other thing I would have done was ensure that I invested in Apple and Microsoft.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Kicking ourselves for that, right?
Yeah.
I think I would tell myself to just have sex with a lot of women. Just have a whole lot of sex with a lot of women and don't get bogged down and waste your big years on just a couple of people that turn out to be failures.
No, I have to say, though, I guess I was fortunate that I met my wife when I was in college in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been married for 26 years. And...
That's good.
Nice. Yeah.
But,
been happy for two.
Yeah. No, it's, so I was very fortunate in that.
Nice.
In fact, she's probably the one that made me more empathetic and understanding as I progressed through my life.
That's nice.
Yeah. A yin to a yang. A yin to your yang.
Yes, exactly. Yin to my yang.
So it was good. In the background is Dire Straits with, probably one of my favorite videos of MTV of all time. I just loved this video. I still love it.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was just all animation, all digitized, and it was just so bizarre but so cool at the same time.
Wasn't that when like Max Headroom came out or something like that?
Yeah, it was similar to a Max Headroom. And what was great too is in the background is Sting. So it's interesting to have Sting playing in the background on a song, you know, with the Dire Straits, with Mark Knopfler playing that great guitar that's on here. It's just such a great tasty lick, they used to call it. But it's so good. Just one of my favorite videos. Money for Nothing here. But you look back and it's like, geez, when did you first feel old? You guys feel old, because I feel old. Do you feel old? Really? Yeah, yeah. I feel old.
I didn't stop feeling old until about 46.
46? All right. Well, that's not bad. That's pretty good.
I feel young whenever I'm with other people my generation, people generally my age. I still feel, you know, sort of energetic, happy, you know, the world's an oyster sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's not until, like, I get around younger people. For me, I went to, you know, I went to certain colleges later on in my life where many of the other students were much younger than me. That's when I started feeling old.
Yeah.
Well, like, to your point there, it's like being around everyone like we went to school with and being in connection like it is, it's... You almost feel like a giggling kid when you're around everybody again.
That's
talking
true.
About the, you know, how close we were.
Well, there's a comfort level there, too, because you know that they're not going to give you crap, and, you know, you had a little bit of life there, so it's interesting. Well, there's a real bond that's formed there.
Well, they can give you crap. They just have a frame of reference to pull crap from.
Exactly. If they remember. But well, what's interesting, too, is the amount of knowledge that comes out when you're with friends. I mean, there was you guys know that my buddy Matthew from our class, Matt Small, he passed away, and he takes this tremendous amount of knowledge with him, because I would get together with him, and, you know, me and him went to all the movies together, and we did tons of stuff together, and there's so many moments where he's like, hey, remember when we did this? And I was just like, no. Like, no.
We were talking about a time when you came up and visited me at my fraternity in college.
Yeah.
Man, I barely remember that.
Yeah.
I probably remember the party, kind of, but the next day.
But that's what's interesting. You get together with people and you're like, it's like, no, I don't remember that at all. Tell me the story, please.
What did I do?
That's the first thing. What did I do?
Are we suffering from early Alzheimer's? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Well, could be.
Well, I have Dawn Sullivan Brewer, who is, like, you know, one of my best friends since I've known her since kindergarten.
Wow.
She has a memory bank on her. If not, she has a photo of it. She'll whip out the yearbook, and it just freaks me out. I'm like, thank God we didn't have cell phones back in the day.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. Well, our parents would have flipped out, because they would have learned about all the crazy stuff we did at pit parties.
Oh, my God.
You know, down in downtown Lowell.
Yeah. I think if YouTube came out a little bit earlier, I think my life would have been a little bit different. Could have been for the better. Could have been for the worse. I'm not sure which. But, I mean, that's just crazy. You know, I'm sitting there. I went to the beach with my brother. We went out to the vineyard, and I'm sitting there at the beach, and we are looking, no lie, out of 30 people, guess how many people were looking at their phones?
30.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
All 30. All 30. And there were little crews of people taking selfies on the beach, and that's all they were doing. I mean, they were spending the entire hour, like, doing their hair and, like, taking selfies and, like getting back, it was in exchanging the phone, looking at it, and they took the same pictures over and over again, looking for like the best selfie. The best. And these were all mostly young girls, probably between, like, I'd say, like, maybe 16 and 30. It was wild. I'm like, wow, they're like on the beach just taking photos. They're not going in the water, they're not talking to one another, they're just doing selfies.
But, you know, you can't just point the finger at the younger generation. We're doing the same thing, too. Mm-hmm. You know.
No, I can point my finger at them. I don't like them.
The three of us, now Danny and I see quite a bit of each other because of the business, but three of us haven't seen all that much of each other. And we've been talking back and forth, but usually our cell phones are still in our hands.
Yep.
So
social media.
I think it's just the sign of the times.
But if I was taking photos of myself for 2 hours here, you guys would be like, come on, dude, we got radio show to do.
One off is fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny, though. If you think about it, I think people are more connected, but less intimately.
Yeah,
it's communications at the tip of your fingers now, which, you know, you can move out and get in touch with anybody at any time. But also what's happening now, and this was big in Europe before it was here, is texting was huge there because it was cheaper.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, because you lived in London, you said, right, for eight years?
Yep.
Yeah. It was basically people would get phone plans, but it would cost them, like, you know, 2p or whatever to text, like a nickel, you know? And so people were texting a lot, and it was great because people were in the pubs, and it's like, here I am here. You know, you can't talk on the phone anyway because it's so loud. loud.
Exactly.
And then now it comes down to, I mean, honestly, coming here, right? I never talked to you guys on the phone at all, right? Yeah. It was all done by text.
Yep. Well, this and on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah. And it's just like, this is where it is. This is where you're going to be. Anything happens, just call or, you know, come, you know.
Well, you cut through all the BS, which is, hey, how you doing? Good to, you know, and...
Which gives us more time to look on the phone for other things.
Yes, exactly.
Shop.
Right. Do some shopping.
Yeah, that's my problem. But like you were saying, when we moved out to the UK in 07, we weren't texting before then. And my husband now was out there and before me. And when I got out there, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm texting everyone at work. Yep. And I'm like, oh. And then, obviously, I jumped on the bandwagon and got a phone out there, and it was cheap. And then, like...
What I think made it explode, though, is when we went from flip phones, when you had to hit for C, you had to hit the one button three times to get to C, and then...
The iPhone.
As soon as you got to the full keyboards or the smartphones, it really blew up.
Yeah, one of my jobs, I was doing some technology stuff, and I was teaching like IT people to work remotely and fix computers and stuff. And one of the things that I had was, oh, we're going to teach them about the BlackBerries to fix BlackBerries. Over. I'm like, so here I am learning about BlackBerries. I'm like, this thing's going to go. I'm like, and the iPhone's launching, and like within a couple of years, BlackBerry was gone, you know. But I'm like sitting there, and I'm looking at this BlackBerry, and I'm like, I ain't teaching them this.
I called mine CrackBerry because
CrackBerry.
Yeah. So the Department of Defense was using BlackBerries for years. In fact, they're the only ones that kept BlackBerry alive for their last 3 years. And it was one of those things where whenever you changed command, we would hand over the BlackBerry. So, you know, I've literally part of one of the ceremonies I did, we had a BlackBerry handover.
Yep.
And people clapped at everything because you were the one guy in the unit in the early 2000s or mid 2000s. That had the BlackBerry, and you were in charge of all the info going back and forth.
Oh, exactly. That's when I was working as a district manager for clothing stores. We have 18 stores, and the stores emailing you.
Yep.
That thing would go off constantly. Yeah, and that's why I would call it the CrackBerry, because you're always like, oh, it's buzzing, go check it.
I prefer that type of keyboard over the keyboards that we have now.
Do you really?
Yeah. I'm not good with the swiping. I've got fat fingers, you know. I don't cut my fingernails enough, you know. Rather than hitting space, I'm hitting period.
Well, now you have all the autocorrect, too, and it just messes you all up.
Oh,
and
you're
like,
yeah.
The things you send out, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
So sorry, I'm really not drinking.
I think half of the texts that I send out end with N.
Because mine usually is a B.
B or an N, because it's right by the send button.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I love my iPhone.
So this is REM is one of my favorite bands of all time. I still remember in our graduation year of 1989, Chris Grant and I, Chris actually played one of the Terminators in Terminator 89, Tewksbury. He and I went to go see them with the Indigo Girls during, I think it was the Green Tour.
Right.
Amazing show.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing show in the Grand Worcester Centrum.
Yeah.
I used to like going to Worcester Central because it was smaller. It wasn't too hard of a drive.
Yep.
Because compared to going in the big city, you know, it wasn't bad and get a few friends in there. Plus, back in the 80s, Worcester Central had pretty much everything.
You could smoke in there. Everybody was laid back.
Yeah.
Remember when people actually stood at at concerts and had lighters?
What do they
do now?
Hold up their phones.
I went to Weird Al Yankovic a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Everybody sat. There was nobody standing.
That must have been so weird.
Everybody. I think there were more people looking at their phones or recording the show with their phones than actually looking at Weird Al with their naked eyes.
Yeah, wow. I'll even go one more on that. I saw Billy Idol and Bryan Adams last weekend at Mohegan.
Oh, nice.
People were sitting down during Billy Idol. I'm like, they're sitting down. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And then same thing, you know, they're bringing out... Bryan Adams did a very, very good song, actually. It's called Shine a Light, and it was very clever because it's like everybody pulls out their phones and like there were lights all over. But it's pretty neat. But, I remember, I think it was during U2, They had a song, I think it was Lights of Home or whatever, and people were putting out their lights, and I took my lighter and I basically broke it so it got nice and
big.
I said, I ran old school, and you get that little calloused thumb.
So
you burned it so much.
You converted into a deep purple lighter. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so that's one thing I really do miss is some good old-fashioned concerts. You know,
back in the day. Couldn't tell you how many we've been to.
A few years ago, one of my favorite bands of all time is Iron Maiden. Love Iron Maiden. I used to have all their albums.
Yeah.
I actually have all their songs on my phone today from time to time. I listen to them, which will really upset my wife because she's more of an Amy Grant fan. You know, they used to play like all their greatest songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw them about 2.5 years ago in Albuquerque. They were promoting a new album.
Yeah.
Really? Which they played maybe 3 or 4 of their old classic songs. So now there's these guys in their 60s, heavy metal guys, playing their new album. I think, I don't know. I still had a good time, but I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of going to see concerts where all the...
They come out on... and strollers.
Yeah, they come out in strollers and play all their quote-unquote new music. Yeah.
Right. Well, they're trying to be, relevant. Look at Madonna.
Well, that was great about Billy Idol. He basically played every single song that I knew from Billy Idol, you know? He played, and I was a Billy Idol fan. I mean, I got all his albums and stuff, and I'm like, man, it was awesome. He was great. The guy's 65. He's jumping all around. He takes his shirt off.
He's in great shape.
I'm like, geez. Like, people are fainting. Women are fainting next to me. This lady's like, what do you think the chances are of me hooking up with Billy Idol tonight? She actually said that to me. We went out for a cigarette, and I said 1 in 4. I said, you got a pretty good shot. I'm like, all you have to do is just, you know, bat your eyes at him. And she's like, you think so? And I'm like, yeah.
So
she's
out of her
mind.
Great.
Yeah. That's
probably a good thing.
Awesome.
It's probably a good thing that she was sitting in case she was standing, she'd faint and fall and hurt herself.
Yeah. But and Brian Adams did a great job too. He was really good.
Did he play with the full band or did
he did?
Do
yeah, he did solo
thing.
and he played with the full band too. It was nice. Really good.
I don't think I've ever seen him.
Yeah, I hadn't seen either one, and they were both great. And that was probably why I went, you know. I'm like, one or the other, maybe if it was a small venue, but a big venue, like Mohegan's, probably about maybe 5,000 seats, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was close to sold out. It was pretty decent.
Yeah,
it was good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right down the road from my house in Connecticut.
Nice.
Actually, there in Foxwoods, two great venues.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a show there.
We saw James Taylor at... God, someplace out in the Berkshires. It was nice. It was beautiful. I can't remember the venue.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
But that's a concert you should sit at.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
But if you're watching Billy Idol, you got to stand. If you're watching Weird Al, you got to stand.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You should be able to put kids on your head and stuff during Weird Al. Swing them around.
Yeah. Weird Al was great, though. Great, great show. It's funny, too. He is parodied... so many people, and probably most of those people, he's outlived.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tanglewood is that what you're thinking of?
Tanglewood, yes.
Yeah, Tanglewood.
Great venue.
Yeah.
Hard as hell to get in and out of.
You know what's a great venue too is I love this one, the Pavilion in Boston, where you can go right out to the water and just hang out, and you can go, you know, hang out in Boston in near South Station and stuff. Mm-hmm. Really great place to see a concert concert.
They've really done a great job over there.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
It
yeah, John Fogerty's playing there next week.
Oh.
Creedence, and I saw Beck and Lou Reed there a few years ago, and they always get pretty good bands, and it's not crazy, too. It's not like $300 for a seat, you know.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Like they still keep it under, you know, $100 or $75. You can still get a pretty good seat. So in the background is Billy Idol here. How about Night Ranger, John? Why was that one of your picks? I'm going to play that one next.
So we were looking at some songs for one of the videos that we did. And for whatever reason, I came across one of this song. It was going to be part of the music bed for this video. And although we didn't use it for the video, it just kind of struck a chord. It's not about any one particular, you know, lady in my life from back in the day, either in high school or college. It just kind of, it was a nice sort of, you know, looking back type of song.
Alrighty. I like Night Ranger a lot. I thought they were an underappreciated band of the 80s.
So. Well, they were like one of the first supergroups. They had Brad Gillis, who played guitar for Ozzy after Randy Rhoads had passed.
Right.
They had the bass guitarist, I forget his name. He was pretty big. He actually played in Ted Nugent's band afterwards, Damn Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great band. I liked them.
Yeah, I mean, so they were kind of like the B-list supergroup. They were kind of like not the X-Men. They weren't the Avengers. They were kind of like the
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, they were like the Fantastic Four or something Squad like that. And Suicide Squad.
Yeah. And I was going to put on the Pixies song that you wanted, Dan. Tell me about the Pixies.
Like, again, another British band, right? So, Here Comes Your Man, it was like a real anthem for like when we were always hanging out and partying and going down the woods. And, you know, Dawn, like I said, Dawn Sullivan Brewer, she always had all the, you know, she would always carry the boom box and the cassette and then moved on to the CDs as we got older. But
right.
She would always play this, and that, she really turned me on to a lot of this stuff.
I have to show you my Discover card. How cool is this?
Oh wow! Do you
I got a boom box?
Get out of here!
As a Discover card.
Do you have
Isn't
a play?
Cool?
Do you have a player's card too?
That's awesome.
Player's card.
Yeah, from Telly Savalas and Billy D.
That's right. So, in the background is another. We decided to do another one for Missing Persons here. Destination Unknown. We'll play Night Ranger and we'll play the Pixies. We'll be back in a moment. And it's WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts. You guys have some quick shout-outs? You want to say hi to anybody offhand?
Yeah, I'd love to say hello to my wife, Jennifer, my son, Andrew, as well as the folks down at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting who trained yours truly, as well as our DJ here, Mr. Earl.
Very, very good. And Dan?
Yeah, I'd just like to shout-out to my husband, Edward. And also one of my nephews, Andrew Richardson, he asked me to do that for him today. He was the first one to shout out for me.
That's cool. How old's nephew?
Well, he's actually married to my niece, so they're 32.
32.
And they have two little kids, Tyler and Chicky.
Very
my
nice.
My niece Sheena. Yeah.
It's
over there all the time.
Yeah. This is the best time, and I love the summer. I've grown to love the summer more and more as I get older. I just appreciate it a lot more, and hopefully everybody's getting out and getting some time to spend and have a little vacation, have a little fun this summer. We'll be back in a moment. It is WMFO here in Medford.
So what time does the show?
About me, a girl in love with the gleam in your eye. Someday a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
Somebody's name. All right. Been listening to Time Travel on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. I want to thank John and Danny for coming in here again today. Any final thoughts, guys?
Don Sullivan Brewer.
Oh, that's a final thought? You're doing a shout out.
She jumped on a little late and didn't really hear me.
Oh. Hi, Don. Thanks for tuning in. You can always listen to the archives, WMFO.org. You can listen to the archives and pull the last 2 weeks of shows out there, and you'll get to see what we played, too. The playlist will be out there. But any words of wisdom for the tough students out there? Any way they should get through college? Anything? We had good advice there, I think, but both of what you would say to your 18-year-old selves.
Well, coming back to a nice, beautiful college like this is always nice. It brought me back to my days at UMass Lowell, where I started my weekends out on Wednesdays and ended them like around Monday mornings. Uh-huh. And so any sort of advice I would give was to prioritize schoolwork first, partying, and everything else second.
See, I would say party first and schoolwork second.
I'm like, when did you stop that Wednesday through Sunday?
It's like, geez, I got up at noon today.
Oh, my God. That'd
the only great. Thing I earned from UMass Lowell yep. was to have a young child and an early marriage.
Mm-hmm. So. There you go.
And any other thoughts, Danny, very quickly? Derek's coming up next.
No. I just have fun. Walk in pairs.
Walk in pairs. Have fun. Yeah. And I will see you guys soon, and we will see everyone else in November. And anybody who's listening from the class of 89, thank you for listening to your freeform station, WMFO in Medford. And we're going to have, hopefully have open bar. Maybe I'll spin some tunes. We're supposed to have a band there.
Blah.
Should be fun. And check out.